Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. This is Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks so much for tuning in, where we are talking with female entrepreneurs who are succeeding with style. I've got a packed studio today full of very exciting stories of success, so let's get right to it. First off, I've got Ellen Turner and Laura Boone, who are principals of Turner Boone, the commercial furniture dealership here in Atlanta. In May of 2004, Ellen Turner and Laura Boone decided to start this venture, and it has met with much success, and they're going to tell us all about it. So, Ellen and Laura, welcome here to the Chic Perspective Show. Ellen, I want to start with you. You've got a background in sales, marketing, a lot of success in business before you decided to start the company. Mm-hmm. So tell me what made you you guys decide to take on this venture.
Well, I worked for a furniture dealership in the Atlanta area prior to meeting Laura. She actually was with a manufacturer at the time. We met, started doing business together, and really realized pretty quickly that our strengths and weaknesses complemented each other. So we said, you know what? How hard can this be? Yeah, exactly. So 6.5 years later, here we are. We started in my condominium in about 750 square feet 6.5 years ago.
And what's happened since then, Laura?
Well, let's see. We've doubled in size every year, except for 2009. We grew 82%. We booked about $10 million in gross sales last year. We have 14 people. We've bought an office space, and we are on a fast track for more growth. So it's been really a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun.
And that's pretty impressive considering what's been going on in commercial real estate as an industry these days. So, Ellen, how have you managed such great growth amongst a time when a lot of people would look at the commercial sector and say, yikes, there's not a lot of growth going on?
Service. One word, service. We, Laura and I noticed when we worked at other respective dealerships and manufacturers that one of the things going on in Atlanta was you have a lot of really large, nice commercial furniture dealerships to do business with, but they've gotten so big, and their service has, because of that, their service has gone down, and their ratios of salespeople to the back of the house, which are the people who really get the work done, were skewed in our minds. So Turner Boone only has two salespeople. That's Laura and myself, the principals. And we have, at any given time, 10 to 12 other people backing us, behind us, getting the work done quickly and on time and accurately. So we are growing because in today's economy, just as you mentioned, people can't afford to not get the best bang for their buck. And we're providing the best service out there, bottom line.
That's quite a value proposition that you bring to the table at a time when a lot of people are shopping around and making sure that they're getting the most from the relationships with their vendors. So, Laura, how has your background in outside sales and business development and sales and marketing helped you to have an edge as you're building the company?
Well, I think Ellen mentioned it earlier. The trick with us is we both have sales and marketing in our backgrounds, but if you go deeper than that, Ellen is more of a financial operations person, and I'm really way more creative. I actually went to art school and have a lot of creative process background, design background. So it's been great that we've divided and conquered. And I really have worked on growing the brand of the business and the creative, image, if you will. And Ellen has kind of handled the back end while I'm doing that. So it's really, I think we've grown it a lot because we complement each other so well.
Ellen, what kind of services does Turner Boone offer to clients?
Well, we're basically the distribution arm of over 200 commercial manufacturers. So when we sell a product, then it's our responsibility to get it ordered correctly, get it shipped on time, track the trucks, get it here on time, and get it installed properly the first time. So we install commercial furniture, we refurbish, we refinish, we do asset management for clients that require it. We do moves, adds, changes, just about anything.
Anything that has to do mm-hmm. with their furniture in
pretty
the
much.
Building. And Laura, who are some of your clients?
We have a lot of really great clients. We do a lot of work in the university sector. We do a lot of higher education with the Board of Regents, et cetera, a lot of community schools, technical schools, things of that nature. That's probably half our business. The other half is pure corporate work. Fifth Third Bank is a large national corporate account of ours. Rila Teleservices. We do a lot of work with nonprofits like the United Way system and a lot of their nonprofits. So it's a mixed bag.
And you just became a registered Hayworth dealer, is that correct?
Yes, which is a really it's
that
a
sounds
big,
like a big win. Huh?
It's a really big win. Hayworth has one other dealer that is authorized to sell their products in the Atlanta area. So for them to add a second dealer is a really big honor. And it's really, we believe, going to be the turbo that helps us grow because it's one of the major manufacturers in the country. And a lot of large corporations already have Hayworth as their standard product line. So it really gives us a foot in the door with a lot of the Fortune 100 companies that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
So, ladies, what would you say one of your biggest lessons learned as you've been growing the company has been? I hear you've met with a lot of success. Any things that you would have done differently or now are much wiser having gone through this process?
I think one of the things that we've definitely learned is to keep a cool head. Because when you're, I mean, we literally had family money on the line and no money. And like she said, we started in her condo and quote-unquote emergencies that we lost sleep over our first year, we don't even blink now. So you just have to keep a cool head. And I think one thing, you know, we never, ever stop and we never give up. And if a problem comes up that seems impossible, we don't believe that it's impossible. And that attitude has prevailed. We've never not overcome a problem.
That's pretty good to hear. Anything you'd like to add to that?
That about sums it up.
Now, in between keeping a cool head and closing all these deals, developing all these great relationships, the company has also had time to give back to the community. You're both very involved in the community, both, you know, active board member, Laura, here of Women in Commercial Real Estate, Turner Boone has focused on Atlanta Women's Foundation, the Big Brother and Big Sister, and also animal causes. So tell me about the importance that you find nonprofit work. And I am segueing into our next guest here. But how has nonprofit work played into the overall strategy? And why is that important to you?
Well, I think that a community, you know, the business community, by the way, is very involved in nonprofit. It really goes hand in hand, quite frankly, and we've made some of our biggest business connections through our nonprofit work. And, you know, at the end of the day, a stronger community makes a stronger business community. So we're also, I just think in our heart, we're women, you know, we're a women-owned business, and we have a soft spot for women and children. And we believe it's our duty to give back, and it just is so rewarding. It makes it just... It's very rewarding, and I know Ellen's working on a big campaign right now with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. If you want to speak to that, it's really wonderful for the community.
Yeah, we're working on a large capital campaign to attempt to acquire a building on Peachtree Street to house this nonprofit for the rest of its life, so to speak. They've never owned their own space. They've been renting for some time, and we really feel like it's a strategic move for Big Brothers Big Sisters in order to acquire a space that they can grow into and have more areas for the bigs and the littles to meet and play and interact and build relationships. And so I am honored to be on their board. This is my first year, and I have a 3-year term and working on helping raise that those funds to get us there.
Excellent. That's really great. It's a great time to, yeah, put down some roots in terms of real estate and acquire a good spot. And like I said, I want to segue now into our next guest, Lauren Solomon, who is, excuse me, a maverick in the advertising industry with more than 20 years doing a lot of work for nonprofits as well as profit corporations as well, award-winning writer, producer, and creative director. Lauren recently started Advertising for Good, her entrepreneurial venture. Lauren, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about Advertising for Good.
Hi, thank you for having me. Advertising for Good is really a culmination of all of not only my own experience, but all of the wonderful strategic partners that I've worked with for the last 20 plus years. We are marketers, strategists, art directors, thinkers, brand planners, and we are now taking all of that marketing expertise and doing it specifically for good. We have always had nonprofit clients as well as corporate clients, and now what we're doing is focusing on connecting the two.
Well, and that's what's interesting about the value proposition here, because a lot of times people keep those separately. You've got the for-profit work, and then we take the profits that we've made from our for-profit work and give back to the community that way. How are you combining the two and sort of showing companies how they can do both at the same time?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a trend that is here, and it's something that most brands, big brands, small brands, smart brands, know has to happen. Businesses have always been agents for change, and it can't always be about profit, and they know that. So it's really about excavating and identifying what is the true purpose of that business or of that brand. For example, Procter & Gamble's purpose is improving the lives of other people. How do they do that? They do that through the brands that they create. Therefore, they have a purpose-based marketing initiative. So what we're doing is working with those corporations to help them discover what is their purpose and then connecting them with other nonprofit organizations with whom they should work.
So when you talk about discovering the purpose, I mean, I would imagine a lot of companies think they already know what their purpose is. How do you kind of dig a little deeper and unearth kind of the purpose within the purpose, so to speak?
Yeah, a lot of organizations, a lot of corporations' purpose is to make money or to serve the communities. Like I said, with Procter & Gamble, really taking a look at all of their products and coming up with an umbrella purpose that fits within their brand. I had a meeting this morning with Points of Light organization, and they are a nonprofit organization with a clear purpose, but they don't necessarily have all of the corporate partners that they need. So it's really about doing both. And as a marketing professional, I'm in a unique position, my team and I, to develop these, to do research and figure out what is the authentic purpose, and then to create marketing initiatives to promote them around the world.
So how would you say what's happened with the economy and the recession over the last couple of years has helped companies to get even more focused on their purpose of the organization?
I heard someone this morning on TED Women, actually, a video speak about this morning, and she said that consumers are voting with their pocketbooks. Consumers don't want to just support brands that don't have a purpose. They want to be there with brands that they know care about doing something. So I think that the economy is exactly in the right place. Everybody knows that we need to make a change, and big businesses need to help with that change. So I think it's the perfect time.
And what has been the most rewarding part for you for starting your own company and creating something that's truly unique in the marketplace like this?
I had a meeting with a large chicken company, a restaurant company, and I was sitting there with them, with the heads of marketing and the heads of the executive team, And they were telling me about a $20 million campaign they were going to push out and market that said that they had a tastier chicken thigh than their competitor. And I had just gotten back from one of my largest nonprofit organizations, MAP International, which provides help and hope to some of the world's most impoverished communities. And I was thinking, $20 million, does anyone care if that's a tastier chicken thigh? I don't really think so. And I just thought to myself, there's got to be a better way to spend this kind of marketing money. And, you know, so my goal right now, and I don't know if I'm answering your question, but my goal right now is to work with a large chicken company and MAP International to take $20 million and create a sustainable poultry program around the world.
Wow, what a difference that kind of an attitude and perspective makes versus let's just, you know, sell more chicken or say that we have a tastier thigh. People are really making different decisions these days. And it is a more holistic view of not just what you're eating for dinner tonight, but what that says about your family and the habits that you're enculturating in your overall lifestyle. That's very interesting. And it's funny to think that a company that size wouldn't already see that. And it takes someone like you to come in and really show them how to connect the dots in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, thank you. And I do hope that that happens. And I was thinking about, you know, the marketing campaign too. Wouldn't you rather see a billboard that says for every, you know, bag of chicken you buy, we're supporting four poultry farmers in, you know, Kenya?
Exactly. Exactly. Very creative. All right. I want to make sure that we leave time here for our fourth guest that I have the pleasure of having in the studio with me today, Ms. Jane McCracken, who is the founder of Preventus Group, a healthcare testing company, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about what Preventus does. Jane, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about the company.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I work with the Preventus Group. We are an international professional services firm that works with biotechnology companies, pharmaceuticals, and clinical research companies. What we do is we help these companies test their new products. These are products that haven't received FDA approval yet, and they aren't on the market yet, but they are tomorrow's drugs and devices that will help cure disease and help people live a better life.
Now, what made you decide to start this business? Because you have a lot of different business backgrounds and many different industries and things that you've done. What was the need you saw that made you want to go in this direction?
Well, I am an entrepreneur. This is the fourth company that I've been working with as a member of a startup team. And the most recent industry that I've worked in is clinical research. I saw some gaps in the market working with these companies, providing ad hoc services. And that's exactly what the Preventus Group does. A lot of these companies are virtual. They hire personnel as they need that particular talent at the time. They don't necessarily hire them permanently. So what we do is fill the gaps in between when they need certain talent within the process.
Okay. So who are some of your customers that you're working with, or what types of companies are you targeting?
Well, we work with, as I mentioned, biotechnology companies. So we have a customer in the Boston area that's developing, it's preclinical. So it means it's very experimental stage, and they have hopes to help to cure cancer, the compound that they've isolated. We are working with two state-oriented nonprofits that are cancer-related and helping them improve the clinical trial programs that they have with the doctors they have throughout the state. And then another company that we're working with, we're helping them with regulatory approvals, both here in the United States and throughout Europe.
And how has your background in, I believe, investment banking as well as in the healthcare industry helped you to sculpt this business in a way that's really allowing you to grow quickly?
Well, that's right. I started out my career as a venture capitalist and investment banker, and in the mid-90s kind of made the transition where rather than investing in companies and advising them how to raise money, I actually got into the management of those companies. So it's almost a poacher-turned-gamekeeper type proposition. But what's helped is for me to have an understanding of what you're trying to accomplish as a business and also understand that if you're going to have investment from people outside, that they have a very different agenda and a very different set of priorities than those of you that are running the business. So I think it's kind of helped me see and helped all the stakeholders in the business, whether you're a shareholder, an employee, a customer, a manager, accomplish the goals of what the business is setting out to do.
And as an entrepreneur, what do you find to be the most rewarding part of the process and the job on a regular basis?
Well, I think everyone that's going to run a company has to be passionate about what they do. They have to love it. They want to accomplish things. And I think the reward I've gotten is a very fulfilling and happy life so far.
Can't beat that.
No.
Well, I like to ask all of my guests on the Chic Perspective show to share a chic tip. So I'm going to now circle back to everyone that we've had the pleasure of speaking with and ask them if they can think back on their journey over the last several years of their whole career and really dig into what would be one tip that you would offer to other aspiring entrepreneurs that's really helped to propel your career forward. So this is our Chic Tip segment, and I'll start with you, Ellen Turner. What's your chic tip for us today?
No matter what, be honest.
All right, terrific. And Laura? Laura Boone.
No matter what, never give up.
Nice one. Lauren Solomon, short and sweet here.
I'm not short or sweet. Mine is the relationships. Always keep your relationship at the forefront. The people with whom you're doing business, make sure you treat them fair, honestly, and keep them in your world.
Terrific. Thank you. And Jane, what would be your chic tip?
Well, I certainly agree with all the other tips that have been put forward. And I would just throw in there to trust your gut, because usually your first instinct is probably right. And be fair to yourself and trust your gut instinct.
Those are great pieces of advice. Well, it's such a pleasure to have a full studio of superstar female entrepreneurs here. And I'd like to find out from each of you the role that building relationships has played through your career and your business. People say that, you know, it's important to network, it's important to meet people, but what have you done to really cultivate relationships that have helped you to turn those into profitable business relationships?
I think it's one of the most important things, and I think Ellen kind of said it best. You know, you have to have integrity to really build a relationship, and you also have to have consistency to build a relationship, so it's really about trust. And, you know, a wise client of mine told me once, you know, it's a lot easier to keep the same clients than to find new ones.
And so true.
We really, really try to keep our clients. We really try to develop long-term relationships. Ellen and I are not about nabbing a dollar today. We're in this for the long run. So we'll say no to business if it makes a relationship stronger. And what's happened is it all comes back around. And it does get easier and easier because you just have these solid foundation with people. So I think it's one of the most key. It's thinking not about now, but long term in terms of your relationships and how you treat people and the business decisions you're making.
That's excellent to hear, because I think a lot of times people don't think that business people think that way, and that's really what we want to get across here on the Chic Perspective show, is how do you invest in building a long-term foundation for growth? What about you, Lauren? How have relationships played into your career and the way you're building your company now?
Relationships are the most important thing in my business life and my personal life. It's very similar to what everybody said here. Jane said to trust your gut and be passionate, and Ellen talked about having integrity. For me, when I meet somebody and I trust my gut and I can tell that they're smart and wonderful and I want them around for a long time, I do, in fact, cultivate that relationship. And I've had the same partners, I've had the same clients, I've had the same vendors, I've had the same suppliers easily for 2 decades. And as a result, I have a good ethical reputation and I have wonderful relationships. And like Jane said, I have a wonderful life because of it.
That's really wonderful that your business can really empower that for you. Anything else you'd like to add, Jane?
Well, I think it's all been said, but one of the most rewarding things that you have coming out of a business is the relationships that you develop and cultivate. And whether they stay on a strictly professional level or whether they cultivate into some kind of a social friendship, it's the reason we do this. It's the people that we work with and continue to work with.
Yes, so true. One other thing I wanted to ask you, Ellen, was about the WeBank, Women's Turner Broun as active status in the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, and membership in the Interface America's Diversity Connect Dealer Program. How has WeBank and that certification as a women-owned company helped you grow the business and influenced maybe the direction that you've taken?
Well, it's interesting. We found it out pretty early that being a 100% woman-owned company, a minority company in today's business world, it can get you to the door, but it doesn't get you through the door. And that's actually refreshing to us. We still get the opportunity to earn the business that we receive. So it's helped in getting us to many doors that maybe we wouldn't have had an opportunity to go through, but it's what we do once we get to that door that's gotten us through them.
That's great to hear, because I think that true, successful business people aren't looking to sneak in on some kind of a free ride. We just want to earn the right to be able to do what we do best, to provide a good value and a good service to the marketplace. It's wonderful that it's gotten you there, and then it allows you to earn the business because you're completely capable of doing so and beating out the competitors. Since it is the Chic Perspective Show, I like to hear how you found being a woman, if that makes a difference in how you see yourself as a leader in the company, or if it's influenced at all the way that you've chosen to grow in your company. Lauren, what has your female perspective brought to the table for you?
I think that as a woman, I had a boss way early on who one time told me that I shouldn't try to be a man, which was helpful because I'm not. And
that would be a losing battle.
Yeah. And that I should use, and I do this, my femininity and my feminine intuition, my gut, my sense of balance, work-life balance is important to me. It's important to my clients. It's important to everybody. And my values and my feminine principles, not giving those up just because I am in a corporate male world.
You can do business as a woman and do both well.
Exactly.
Jane, how about you? You've worked in some male-dominated industries.
Oh, definitely.
How has being a woman helped you to differentiate yourself as an entrepreneurial superstar?
I think there's 2 things. It's just a fact of life. Women are better at multitasking. So you take that and make it your advantage. The other thing, I think we approach things in a more collegial way. I often find that women are better team leaders and involving everyone on the team and encouraging people to play to their strengths. And I watch female managers approach that in a very different way than a male manager would. And I used that to my advantage because building a company is about the whole team that's doing it. It's not about one person. And I think the more collegial you can make it, you're going to have a whole lot more fun and you're going to be a whole lot more successful.
Absolutely. That approach as a leader, not trying to be a one-man band, really gives you the opportunity to build an organization and create something truly great. Well, we're almost out of time here, and this is actually going to be our last Chic Perspective show for 2010. So I would like to find out from all the ladies we've got here in the studio what they've learned over the course of 2010 and what they're prospecting or predicting, I guess, for 2011, which is right around the corner. I can hardly believe it. So from Turner Boone, what have you guys learned over this last year, and what can we expect to see from you in next year?
Well, I think I know these ladies will agree with us. I am constantly learning. I can't even tell you how a specific thing. I've learned again this year is that every year my company is totally different. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I choose, and I know Ellen does too, to a career path that is completely brand new and a challenge every single day. So we're looking forward. We had a very different company this year and a lot of different challenges that we'd never faced before. And it's been a lot of fun succeeding with those challenges. And we see a lot of change and growth. So we're just going to hang on to the side of our raft. And we're really excited about the ride coming up.
That's great to hear. There's a lot of opportunity out there in the marketplace. So
we feel that the economy's coming back.
Absolutely.
And that next year we will see a large percentage of growth again.
And it sounds like you're in a wonderful position to take advantage of that. Lauren Solomon, what's been the big lesson that you've gained over the course of 2010, and what can we expect to see from Advertising for Good as we embark on 2011?
I think, like Lauren said, whoever made that statement years ago that the only constant is change is absolutely accurate. Every day is something new, and every year is a completely different business. What stays the same, as we've all talked about here today, is relationships and integrity and doing good. And what I'm looking forward to in 2011, our new little catchphrase, is continuing to do well by doing good.
Terrific. Jane, what's Preventus Group got on the horizon for us?
I think the big thing I learned in 2010, and I think my partners learned too, is resilience. It was a very difficult year in our industry, and things are looking very, very much up because the fourth quarter for 2010 has certainly been better than the previous three quarters. So we're looking to expand the business and provide more ad hoc services to our clients.
Fantastic. Well, all signs are pointing to business growth here as we wrap up another episode of the Chic Perspective Show. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you'd like to listen to more episodes of the show, go to businessradiox.com and click on Chic Perspectives, or you can go straight to chicentrepreneur.com. We will talk to you again in 2011 with more Chic Perspectives, shining the spotlight on female entrepreneurs succeeding with style. This is Elizabeth Gordon, the Chic Entrepreneur, remembering that heel to heel, we rise. Give them the business.